CBSI in the World. I'm John Betts with Gordon Chang. We're very pleased to be joined by Stephen Yates, chair of the America First Policy Institute's China Policy Initiative. Steve, a very good evening to you. There's been a cancellation in China of a post-press conference, post-People's Congress meeting at the Great Hall of China press conference by the premier of the country, whom I'm told to look as a combination of the chairman of the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Secretary. His name is Li. They've canceled his post-People's Congress press conference, not only for this year, but going out several more years. This has gained great attention, but I'm unclear as to why. Good evening to you, Steve. What's the big deal about somebody not giving us what you'd have to say was propaganda?
Well, John, I think there's actually quite a lot behind this, and I'll just give somewhat of a starter list, and I'm sure there's much more we could add to it. I think this is strategically significant. In the first instance, this tradition, let's call it, began in the wake of the Tiananmen Square massacre-related sanctions and the need for the Chinese leadership to try to address the international community. And they felt like they had something to say about economic performance, economic opportunity, the desire to integrate with the world, that they were willing and able to stand in front of the international media and answer questions. It was kind of the rise of an idea about technocracy inside the Chinese system. And the premier, as the person who runs the government, as opposed to the party general secretary, who is politics and command over the Central Military Commission, was seen as somewhat separate. So that was a very, very important branding movement by the Chinese leadership coming through the 1990s and up to the current era. Taking this away says several things. Number one, they don't feel like they need to or have to address these issues to an international audience. They can act with impunity, and the world is either not going to care or not change its behavior. Second, they must show a lack of confidence that they have a verifiable message to show about economic performance and the opportunities that China presents. It's a major turning of the narrative and turning of the corner. And I think the last bucket of it, and there's more to add to it, is the consolidation of the cult of Xi Jinping, of he and his ilk being in complete control and not really sharing any of the leadership messaging or spotlight with anyone else.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
Steve, what caught my eye, of course, was the cancellation of this year's press conference. But also this year, they announced they were canceling it through 2027. This is a central government affair. 2027 is significant because that is the end of the term of the current Central Committee of the Communist Party. And that seems to me to show a fusion of an extent that we haven't seen before of party and central government. Plus also it says, we do not want to talk to you for another 3 or 4 years, which seems to me saying we have, you know, we really do not want to talk about our internal situation. What do you make of this 2027 business?
Well, I agree that it's very, very remarkable. And 2027 has been held out as a period of maximum risk for potential conflict. It does kind of run out the clock and basically says that China, under its current leadership, is not at all interested in integration with the world, is not at all interested in transparency and accountability, isn't trying to sell the notion that its model is better. It's a pure power play, in my view. And it basically challenges anyone to try to get verifiable reporting about the problems that China is going through internally. So it's a shroud of secrecy. It is avoidance of accountability for everything from COVID to economic woes and investment problems. And it also, I think, pulls back from trying to address why are so many international companies and people seeking to leave China. It's just a dramatic change of the narrative that we were sold for a generation from when this press conference started till now.
Steve, the simple motive for not having a press conference is you have either bad numbers or you don't know what the truth is or what? Why would they hold back? I remember when they stopped giving us unemployment for youth, There were many voices who raised the possibility it must be really bad. And that was a fair conclusion. It is. We know that many young people are fleeing China. We can see that in the Darien Gap. So aren't they just telling us that the numbers are bad by canceling the press conference? Isn't that clear?
Well, John, it's certainly the case that they know what the real numbers are. I don't think that there's any in any way someone can make a case that the most expansive and modernized and weaponized surveillance state and information state known to mankind doesn't know how their property market is going, doesn't know how their demographic changes are a profound challenge to them, doesn't know that the economic downturn is likely much more severe than what their targets are saying. And there really isn't a defense for this 5% target that they've sent for GDP growth. So any financial reporting that used to be the safe space in international engagement with China's government, they can't ask normal questions they would anywhere else in the world. And China continue to have normal access to markets and investment. So I think they know. And the reason is the numbers are worse than they have been saying, and that's why they shut off the information valve.
Gordon?
So, Steve, you talk about a period of maximum vulnerability. Do you think that they can actually sort of convince the international community that things aren't as bad? Or are you just, this is, we just don't care anymore mode?
I think that they likely know better than we ever will how tenuous their hold is domestically. There's, I think, also a knowledge gap on our side about what they're really prepared to do to risk or provoke conflict. I mean, right now they are provoking conflict with the Philippines in ways that were unnecessary and I think illogical, unless they are preparing a battle space for areas they know they would need to command if they were ever to truly blockade or do more against Taiwan. There is no way to do that to Taiwan without infringing upon Philippine sovereignty and Japanese sovereignty. And both of those trigger U.S. treaty alliances. And so I think there is a testing ground going on now, and it sets up for Xi Jinping, if he's going to do something before he's either termed out or things change dramatically for the leadership, that he would try to do some kind of a dramatic move on Taiwan. That's, I think, where the analytical risk space is on 2027.
Steve, we've got less than a minute. Mandate of heaven. Gordon has instructed me that that is something that Chinese people think about. Does he or does he not have the mandate of heaven? Does this touch the press, the canceling of the press conference? Does it suggest that he does not have the mandate? Are they thinking that? 30 seconds.
Well, I think it's fairly clear that Xi and the CCP have lost the mandate of heaven if they ever had it. I would also argue that the CCP is not a Chinese entity, is not part of the Chinese traditional history, and so they operate differently. But that's just my bias against them being a part of the longer Chinese traditional narrative to or against which they declared a revolution. But they've certainly lost their claim to legitimacy. Economic performance was over all else, and that is faltering now.
Steve Yates, chair of the America First Policy Institute's China Policy Initiative. Gordon Chang, I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.